This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, another left-inspired shooting. House Majority Whip Steve Scalise and four others were shot today as Republicans practice for tomorrow night's baseball game between Republicans and Democrats. Steve is still listed in critical condition, although expected to recover. The gunman is dead. We'll talk about the growing violence inspired by the left. We'll be talking to Oklahoma Senator James Lankford to discuss not only today's shooting, but yesterday's Senate Intelligence Committee hearing with Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Also, I'll ask him about Bernie Sanders and his outburst, his religious intolerance. And another high school student standing up for her faith will be joined by Moriah Bridges, a graduating senior at Beaver High School in Beaver, Pennsylvania, who was standing up for her faith. We're going to talk to her and her attorney here later on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Joining me now, Oklahoma Senator James Lankford, who was a member of the House, has served with Steve Scalise, and actually was not out at the ball field, but went down to the Senate floor, spoke to this issue earlier. Also, a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee was on the committee hearing yesterday when former Senator, now Attorney General Jeff Sessions, appeared before the committee. Senator, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Senator, so glad to be with you. How about that?
Yeah, there you are. Got you.
Apologize for the little delay. That mute button does make a difference.
It does. Sometimes I wish I could push it in other places. But
I get that.
You went down to the Senate floor to address today's shooting, which was, this was a pretty extreme act. I mean, over 50 rounds were shot. It lasted about 10 minutes. What does this say about what's happening in our country?
Yeah, it's exceptionally painful, obviously, for the Scalise family, for the family of the Capitol Hill Police, for the other staff members there. It's painful for the entire Hill community and for the nation to have anyone attacked. The challenge of it is now trying to determine motive, and everything's pointing towards a very politically based attack. Unlike years ago when Gabby Giffords was shot, it was this mentally unstable individual they couldn't figure out any kind of motive or motivation for. This seems to be an individual that's singularly focused on trying to shoot Republicans. And seems to be very motivated that direction. The pain of that is, quite frankly, that our rhetoric has risen to a level that people now feel like they're going to take the next level of action, that just speaking out is not enough, that they're now going to actually take action. That's a very bad place for us as a nation, and it's a bad sign. And quite frankly, there were a lot of conversations around the Hill today. Towards the late morning, we had some prayer times and other times together with staff and with members, that the conversation started rolling towards each person telling their stories of the latest death threat that they've had. And we all face that as people in the public eye, but they've dramatically increased in the last several months. And you take them seriously, but now you understand, no, there are some people that really mean it when they say that and put some of those threats out. They plan to be able to carry that out. So it's incredibly sobering for our family and for each of us, but we also have a responsibility that we have to be able to fulfill.
Yeah, it was early this morning, moments after it occurred, I got a text from someone telling me that Steve had been shot. And, of course, it was just almost five years ago, that we had the shooting here at the Family Research Council.
Right.
And it come to find out this man's Facebook page had a lot of the same links and likes as the gunman that came into the Family Research Council, like the Southern Poverty Law Center and some of these other leftist groups. But we have seen in recent days, I mean, you have Hollywood putting together this play in which the president is assassinated and it's celebrated and declared to be an outstanding play. You have the comedy routine with a beheading the president. I mean, look, this stuff has gone farther than it's ever gone before.
Right. It's incredibly dark and it's difficult. Steve Scalise is a friend to both you and I. Know him well. This is a person that's been very outspoken in his personal faith and his own journey. He is the House sponsor of the Johnson Amendment bill that he has in the House. I have in the Senate. We've worked together a lot on issues of religious liberty. So he is someone that has been out there and has been active, but this seems to be an act just on Republicans, just in general,
right.
Just to be able to go attack whoever is out there rather than just Steve in particular. He happened to be one of many that were there. But the rhetoric and the imagery, the belittling of the president, the constant droning on and on and on, is raising to a level that obviously is driving some people to be able to respond in a way that is exceptionally inappropriate. Even Bernie Sanders to come out and say, this person was a volunteer on my presidential campaign, but this is despicable and sickening. I agree with Bernie on that, but we're now at a whole new level.
Well, you bring up Senator Lankford, Bernie Sanders, and it was just last week that Bernie Sanders went on really what I would say a rampage against Russell Vought, that has been nominated by the president to serve as the number two man at the Office of Management and Budget.
Right.
And it wasn't an issue about his professional capabilities that he raised, but rather he delved into and excoriated him over his theological holdings, which happened to be Orthodox Christian.
Right. So basically what Bernie Sanders did is he said this person is interviewing and being nominated for a position dealing with accounting and with economics, but because he is a Christian, he's not eligible to be able to serve in this role. He's not qualified to be able to do it. And basically what Bernie was saying is, what kind of Christian really are you? It seemed to be this sense of, you can be a Christian as long as you don't follow the teachings of Jesus. Because all that Russell did was quote John 3:18.
Right.
And in that quoting, he's saying that's intolerant. So it's this very odd sense of violating, quite frankly, Article 6 of the Constitution, which says there's no religious test or qualification for any officer or elected official in the United States. That's very clear from the founding of our government that there's no religious test. And Senator Sanders is trying to now create a religious test to say, if you have a certain type of faith, then that disqualifies you. People that are Muslim believe that me as a Christian, I'm an infidel. That doesn't offend me in being able to interact and be able to work with them in other areas. I understand we have a very different perspective on faith. But to be able to say to an individual, just because you follow the teachings of Jesus, you're not qualified to be able to serve in government, I find it an entirely different level of any conversation we've had in the past, and it rightfully needs to be confronted.
Well, it's almost a reverse religious test, because the federal government, when that was adopted, the states had religious tests, and those religious tests were that they wanted their elected officials to have Orthodox Christian views in the federal government.
Or a certain denomination. They had to be a certain denomination in a certain state. Most of the colonies, when they were a colony, had a certain denomination that if you're going to represent them and there are different assemblies, you had to be, you know, whether it be Presbyterian or you had to be Anglican or whatever it may be, that it was set apart, and each one of them, with very few exceptions, had a recognized denomination. And they were saying, no, you don't have to have a recognized denomination. There's no religious test. It's open. And then they clarified that even more with the First Amendment, saying the free exercise of religion is protected.
So now we've come to a point where if you have a Christian viewpoint and you hold to Christian theology, then Bernie Sanders is suggesting that you are disqualified from serving in government.
Correct. And that has been a growing issue that you've watched before, whether it be in the military, whether it be in government office, wherever it may be. You can say you can have a Christian faith, just never express it, and don't live out basic Christian doctrine. Or to be able to say, as is often being said now in the open society and the culture, we have freedom of worship rather than the free exercise of religion. We don't have freedom of worship. That's something that China would say. If you're in a certain building at a certain time, you can worship as you want. We don't have that. We have the free exercise of religion, saying you can not only have a faith, but you can live out the principles of your faith in your workplace, in your leisure time with your family, wherever that may be. You can live out the principles of your faith. That's what's protected in America.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Oklahoma Senator James Lankford, my guest. In this first segment, we were discussing a multitude of items. One, the shooting today, and related to that, the hostility that has been, I think, really fostered by this view that certain Orthodox Christian viewpoints are not welcome in the public square. Now, some you said earlier, James, and I want to make sure that's very clear, that there's no evidence to suggest that that Steve in particular was targeted. He just happened to be on the field at second base when the shooting started and was hit in the hip. But the the point is this growing hostility that we're seeing, you know, whether it's comedians holding the head of the president or plays on Broadway assassinating the president. I mean, there is a coarsening of society that leads people who are, you know, quite frankly, you know, teetering on the edge to do things like what we saw today.
Right. And we don't know all of the motivation yet of the shooter. We have some very clear signals of that direction based on things that are on his own social media, based on statements that he's made in the past, based on his own political operation. But there could be a lot more motivation there. It's not an open and shut case,
right?
But it certainly lends that direction. And I would tell you it's one of the reasons we started about a year and a half ago something we called Solution Sundays. It was a very simple idea initially dealing with race that we have opened up. And the Solution Sundays conversation is very, very simple. I started having conversations with people to say, has your family ever invited a family of a different race over to your home for dinner? And I was amazed at the number of people that would say to me, I have friends that are another race, and I would always smile and say, that's not what I asked. Has your family ever invited another family of another race over to your home for dinner to establish just a friendship in a conversation, to get around the table? As I've said, we'll never get all the issues on the table until we get our feet under the same table. And to be able to have those dialogues. I've been astounded at the number of contacts that we've had from people saying, I've never done that, but also never thought about the fact that I had never done that. Once we actually invited a family of another race that came over for dinner, we initiated this great conversation of friendship. I'm so grateful that I was pushed that direction. Then I started having people about 6 months later saying, could we do that with people in different political parties and other issues that are out there? I said, absolutely you can. The issue is, let's start working past we're opposed to each other and start establishing relationships and saying we may have some common ground in other areas and think differently in other areas, and that's okay, but let's at least find our common ground areas and establish that. And you find this is a biblical principle, whether that be Paul going into Mars Hill and establishing some of those basic connections, or you find that with Jesus going into all kinds of different places and being assaulted by the Pharisees, saying, I can't believe you went there and sat down and ate with those people. That's a basic principle that we sometimes do not live out our own values. Sitting down and having a meal is a great first step.
It is, and having conversations. I mean, it humanizes people. We need to talk to people and not about people. It has a huge impact. Senator, we're almost out of time, but I want to ask you, any takeaways from yesterday's Senate Intelligence Committee hearing with the Attorney General? Anything new that was uncovered yesterday?
I think there were some things that were clarified. There's been a lot of, as Jeff even said yesterday, a lot of innuendo out there about his conversations, and it was good for Jeff to be able to come out and to be able to lay out all the facts. Here's what actually occurred. For instance, there's been this spin in the media about this supposed third meeting with Russians and some secret meeting during the election time. What it ends up being is that Jeff and the Russian ambassador were in the same room at the same time, but never had a meeting. But the media had spun it up like it was some big conspiracy. Jeff came and laid that to rest and said, we happened to be in the same room at the same time, but there was no meeting that happened at that spot. And so there were a lot of things he was able to lay to rest. There was no new information, just clarifying some of the myths out there in the media.
All right. Well, Senator, thanks so much for taking time out this afternoon to join us. As always, great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you as well.
All right. Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, when we come back, we're joined by Paul Bedard, who is a reporter with the Washington Examiner, to talk about today's incident, the shooting earlier today. Don't go away. We're back with more after this.
One of the great freedoms that most Americans enjoy is the ability to get involved in political campaigns. But what about pastors? Unfortunately, due to a little-known amendment that was passed in 1954 at President Lyndon Johnson's urging, churches and other nonprofit organizations are prohibited from making statements for or against a candidate for public office if they want to remain tax-exempt. This is just one of the many problems with the Johnson Amendment. Not only does fear of IRS action put a chill on the free speech of pastors, it restrains other nonprofit organizations from participating in the debate of public policy in their area of expertise. In addition, the IRS only rarely enforces the Johnson Amendment, causing widespread confusion about what constitutes lawful political speech and what doesn't. For more information on how to amend the Johnson Amendment, visit frc.org/Johnson Amendment. That's frc.org/Johnson Amendment.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms in association with American Family Studios introduces Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrady's. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
So, what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, if you're just joining us, we were talking earlier about the shooting that took place here in Washington, D.C., well, outside of Washington, D.C., in Virginia, as Republican congressmen and some senators were preparing for tomorrow night's congressional baseball game between Republicans and Democrats, and a gunman open-fired and shot House Majority Whip Steve Scalise. He was hit along with four others, two of his security detail. And now, as I've talked to members and others, I have not talked to Steve. Obviously, he's been in surgery. He is listed in critical condition. I would encourage you to pray for Steve and his family, his wife, Jennifer, heading up from Louisiana, probably in flight now to get here to be with Steve. He's still listed in critical condition. Two of his security detail were shot, as I mentioned. There probably would not have been anyone there. Capitol Police, because he's a part of membership, is part of his security detail, and they were able to return fire and kill the gunman. But there is evidence now through the social media that this was another one of these left-inspired shootings, similar to what we saw here at the Family Research Council about 5 years ago. Well, Paul Bedard is with the Washington Examiner. He knows Washington secrets better than anybody. He's a longtime D.C. reporter. He joined the Washington Examiner in 2012 after penning U.S. News and World Report's premier political column, Washington Whispers, for more than a decade. In addition to his Washington Secrets column, you can check out his signature feature, Mainstream Media Scream, and you can follow him on Twitter, at Secrets Bedard, B-E-D-A-R-D. I like him on Facebook as well, and he joins us now. Paul, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks. Grim day here, isn't it?
It's troubling. Yeah, and especially for us here at the Family Research Council, brings back a lot of memories.
Sure.
Of what happened here. But Steve is a close friend. Steve and I actually, we organized the softball games that we put down in Louisiana when we were elected, and we played softball. Up here it's hardball. But he's always been very athletic and involved in those things, and certainly our prayers are with him and his family. But as you've dug into this already, you've put some things out already. This guy, through his social media, clearly connected to these leftist organizations.
you know, we were able to take a look at his social media almost immediately. I mean, the beauty of Google nowadays, right? And there's so many links to the shooter of Family Research back in 2012. This guy, James Hodgkinson, he's from Bellevue, Illinois, but he spent a lot of time, essentially, he spent a lot of time getting kind of whipped up on politics on his Facebook page, for example. He lists, you know, protesting pipelines out west. He friended and liked groups such as Media Matters, MoveOn.org, and the Southern Poverty Law Center, which, of course, identifies, you know, groups that it thinks are hateful. And I think he just kind of, obviously, he got whipped up by what he was reading. And most of these groups, many of these groups, are feeding this, especially in the area of anti-Trump. I mean, you get the impression they'd do anything to get rid of Trump.
Yeah, and of course, as I was talking earlier with Senator Lankford, I mean, we've seen Broadway, we've seen New York plays, you know, glamorizing the assassination of the president. We've had comedians holding up the severed head of the president. Should we be surprised that we see people like this carrying out what they're, I would say, suggesting through, quote-unquote, the arts?
Yeah, I don't think we should be surprised. But I guess some of the surprising thing about it is, you know, you always read in the mainstream media that it's the right-wing gun nuts, the lunatics on the fringe that are going to come after, you know, the Democrats. So when it happens on this side, it just goes to show that, you know, I guess this is really a divided nation, but that, you know, everybody can fall under the spell of this type of stuff.
Yeah, I do wonder, Paul, if the media is going to dig into this guy's past and his alignments and his associations. And of course, we're not going to know everything. I know investigators are even at his house now in Illinois digging through things. But the, you know, he's dead. Obviously, they're not going to be able to interrogate him. So we're not going to know everything. But the picture right now does suggest that, you know, his appetite toward these leftist organizations clearly had an impact on him.
They did. I mean, you know, on his Facebook page, which, of course, has now been taken down, shockingly, because Facebook decided that he shouldn't be posting this type of hate post. But, you know, that's after the fact, of course. Right. But, you know, he kind of indicates that we have to get Donald Trump. He shows pictures of a Trump being beat up, pictures of Make America Great hats being stomped on. I mean, this is a shade of violence that goes far beyond what I think a lot of other people are saying in the media. Now, I'm sure that everybody in the press is on this story. You know, it's not a church someplace where, you know, the White House press corps and the National Press Corps is disengaged. You know, this is the number three leader in the House GOP. It's a huge story. We'll be all over it, and everybody will be all over it.
Well, let's hope and pray that the nation pauses to consider where we are and what has brought us here and how we can rectify this. It's a serious problem.
Definitely, and you know, and for Scalise and his friends and his family, I mean, you see everywhere people are praying for him.
Yeah, well, and we'll continue to do so. Paul, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tom.
All right, Paul Bedard with the Washington Examiner. To find out more, go to the website tonyperkins.com and follow the links over. It's a sad commentary on where we are as a society, but all the more why, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we need to be involved in this process and in the culture as a whole, and standing up for and being true to our faith, because that is the hope. It's always been the hope for mankind, but it's the hope for our country as well. We're going to be talking about that, and what gives me so much hope and encourage for the future is that we have young people willing to stand up for their faith. And we return, we're going to be joined by one of them, Mariah Bridges, who, as a high school graduate, asked to speak for her class, did not back down from her faith. That's next.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, some oil analysts are saying global oil glut is here to stay through 2017. Really, do you think? You know, these are the same analysts, by the way, that in January said that through second quarter, we're going to see oil come into balance. These are the same analysts that said it looks as though oil is coming into balance already. Of course, my take on all of that was very, very different, indicating that there was no way that we are going to see balance coming into the oil sector this year. And frankly, if we don't get tax reform done this year, we are not likely to see any balance come into play even next year, because we are going to have to see a dramatic change in global demand. Now, we did get some good demand data in that the Eurozone's manufacturing data, industrial output, has picked up a bit, and that's very good news for demand. The same holds true for Asia, China, and Japan in particular, as they too are looking at industrial output picking up. So certainly that is going to help. But unfortunately, the glut keeps getting bigger. All of that, good news for us as we head into the summer driving season. It doesn't look like there's much chance of gasoline prices getting out of control or even going up, for that matter. So good for us that are driving this summer.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. You know, one of the things that, as I mentioned before the break, that gives me hope for the country and the future, contrary to what many are saying, that young people are walking away from the faith, the Christian faith, there is it's more than a remnant. A remnant's about 10%. It's more than a remnant. And there are some young people more committed to their faith than previous generations. And I wrote about a number of them in my book, No Fear, and I'm continuing to see them and watching out for them, because it's encouraging, and we need to encourage them and others to not shrink back and be silent about their faith. Well, Mariah Bridges was a graduating senior at Beaver High School in Beaver, Pennsylvania. She was asked by the 2017 senior class president to give remarks at the graduation ceremony. At the closing exercise, Mariah, who is a Christian, submitted her remarks to the school officials for review. The next day, the superintendent said that her submitted remarks were not permissible by federal law. Joining us now is Mariah Bridges and her attorney, Mike Berry of First Liberty, who is representing her in this case. Mariah, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate your time.
All right. And Mike, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having us on.
Well, I saw this and I said, look, this is another one of those young people out there that has more courage than the adults that run the schools to stand up for their rights and their freedom. So I'm just going to start. Mariah, tell our listeners what took place and where things stand.
Well, I asked the president to give the closing remarks at my high school graduation. And when I had submitted the remarks, I heard back from the superintendent, and she told me that I could not use them because of religious nature, because they were in the form of a prayer. I could not say any prayer, especially not one that excluded other religions, by ending in the matchless name of Jesus Christ.
Well, Mike, we've seen other cases like this. This has become, I don't know if they're just misguided or if this is intentional, but we've seen other school officials do this, and this is an infringement upon the rights of these students, is it not?
That's exactly right. You know, Mariah has the First Amendment right to, if she so chooses to include references to her faith or to close her speech in a brief prayer or mentioning in the name of Jesus. And in fact, it's funny that you mentioned that our schools are becoming misguided, because the U.S. Department of Education has actually issued guidance on this, and it looks to me like the superintendent here is unaware or disregarding the Department of Education's guidance on graduation speakers and things of that nature.
So, Mariah, what happened? I mean, you were told you couldn't speak a prayer or mention the name of Jesus. So what was the outcome?
Well, I had to edit my speech, and when I went up to Stoke, I gave the speech that I submitted. I mentioned to the audience that I was forbidden to pray. I've got a speech prepared for them. And then at the end, I did end it in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, because I felt that was the right thing to do.
And what was the outcome? What was the response?
I haven't heard anything from the school administration, and they haven't responded that I'm aware of to any of the lawyers at First Liberty. But we contacted them to find out what exactly my rights were, and found that it was illegal of the superintendent to forbid me to pray. And so now we're just trying to make other students aware of their rights and the law as it is.
So, Mike, have you had communication with the school?
No, actually, that's what we're hopeful for is an opportunity to sit down and meet with the school district and clarify this and ensure that this unfortunate incident doesn't happen to anybody else. That to have Mariah's graduate, this is the culminating event of her high school career, something that she wants to remember for the rest of her life with a positive memory. And to have it end with kind of censorship, this unconstitutional censorship, and really feeling that the school is infringing on her rights, that's no way to end, your school career, especially for somebody as accomplished as Mariah. So we're hopeful to have a sit down with the school, resolve this, and ensure that it doesn't happen to anybody else.
So, Mariah, that's kind of, as you stated, your objective here in following this up even after the fact is to make sure other students coming behind you realize that they have freedoms, they have rights, and they should exercise them.
Exactly. My graduation's over. I can't get it back. It wasn't a great day. It was kind of stressful, but I don't want it to happen to anyone else.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you taking that stand and making sure that you look back behind you and protecting those rights of other students coming behind you. And, of course, Mike, the work that First Liberty does, outstanding, and great to have you back on the program, Mike. And we'll continue to draw attention to these cases and, of course, celebrate those young people that, like Mariah, that have the courage and the boldness to stand up for what they believe.
Well, thank you for having us.
All right, Mariah, best of luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, folks, don't go away. We're going to be back with your phone calls here on Washington Watch when we return. It's most of these kids that I've spoken to, that I interviewed a lot for the book, is that this was a very traumatic experience for them, because most of them, to finish the top of their class, were by the book. And to go against the authorities was a very difficult thing for them to do. But it was one of those things. Do we obey men or God? They chose God. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to be going back to Israel in March, March 8th through the 16th, and we'd love to have you come with us. One of my favorite places to go in Jerusalem is Gordon's Calvary, which is the place where they make the case, a very strong case, was where Jesus was executed. Then we'll also see the Garden Tomb, which is right next door to that, where also a very strong case can be made, was the tomb where Jesus was buried and where he rose from the dead. Well, that's just two of the places we'll see on one day in Jerusalem. We'd love to have you come with us. If you want the information we have available on the tour, go to the website twholyland.com, twholyland.com. For a free brochure sent to you in the mail, call 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5, 800-FAMILIES, Option 5.
Physicians keep learning after medical school in order to better save lives. Shouldn't Christian leaders keep learning to better save souls? Hi, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, and online around the world. Are you a Christian leader who thinks it's important to keep learning? WBS online weekend and evening classes allow graduate students to become better equipped to make disciples in a constantly changing world. For more information, visit wbs.edu.
1MillionDads.com is where men can learn and grow together as men of the cross. Close families and even national revival begin at home with strong fathers in the faith.
I really like how the website provides so many articles. They're all just dead on to help me as a father.
Go to the website, read the articles. You're not alone. 1MillionDads.com. Lead or others will.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to be going back to Israel in March, March 8th through the 16th, and we'd love to have you come with us. You know, one of my favorite places to go in Jerusalem is Gordon's Calvary, which is the place where they make the case, a very strong case, was where Jesus was executed. Then we'll also see the Garden Tomb, which is right next door to that, where also a very strong case can be made, was the tomb where Jesus was buried and where he rose from the dead. Well, that's just two of the places we'll see on one day in Jerusalem. We'd love to have you come with us. If you want the information we have available on the tour, go to the website twholyland.com, twholyland.com. For a free brochure sent to you in the mail, call 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5, 800-FAMILIES, option 5.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Website, TonyPerkins.com. The annual baseball game, which is it's a charity game, and that's what they were practicing for today. It's tomorrow night. It will go on as scheduled, despite the shooting. House Speaker Paul Ryan gathered the members together earlier today and said that it would go on as planned. And they will. It was originally set to be a charity event for the victims in Manchester, England, the shooting that took place there. But they will, lawmakers said they will play for the victims and heroic officers who took down the shooter here. This congressional baseball game has been played since 1909, with all the proceeds going to charity. So this is something that happens every year. Now, the congressional security will be reviewed after today's shooting right outside of D.C. in Alexandria, Virginia. It's unfortunate, but I think it's going to be wherever you have a gathering like this, you're going to have security. And again, they most likely would not have been there had Steve Scalise not been present because of the fact that he is the majority whip and that therefore has a security detail. And they were the ones that took down the shooter. All right, I'm going to open up the phone lines here. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. And you know what? Whatever you want to talk about today. If you want to talk about what's happening here today or you want to bring up another issue, open line today, 866-372-7234. Feel free to call in and we'll talk. It's I do want to encourage people to continue to pray specifically for those that were wounded today and shot in this attack, but also pray for our country. This is we've just seen this increasing violence, and you have to, and I've heard people say, where's it going to stop? I don't know. We've got to make the choice to stop it, though, in terms of, you know, certain behaviors just are not acceptable. And to make threats against people, to be driven to a point of hating people, wanting to see them dead, whether it's in a play or in a comedy routine, it's not acceptable. And even in speech, it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable to say that people should be dead because of their political or their religious views. That's, look, you can have differences, but we have survived as a nation because we've been able to work through those differences and hold different views, but still be Americans. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Tennessee where Gail is on the line. Gail, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, Tony, thank you for taking my call. I listen every afternoon. I really enjoy the program, especially what Family Research Council means to me.
Well, thank you,
Gail. All the work you do up there. In spite of the events of this morning, it is still Flag Day, and our brave men and women, our patriots, serve under that flag. All of us are to respect our flag because it stands for the freedoms that we too many times take for granted. And also, today is President Trump's 71st birthday.
Yes, it is. It is. You are correct on both accounts. It'd be kind of nice, you know, to share your birthday with Flag Day, everybody flying their flags. The flag does mean something. You are absolutely right. It's a symbol not only of a nation, but of people who have sacrificially given themselves to defend that flag. And I fly it at my home. I will be honest, I did not fly it in the last 5 years simply because of what the flag was representing under the Obama administration. I know some people didn't agree with that. But after the election, I started flying the flag again because it does mean something in the nation. It means in the world. It means something totally different in many, many ways than what Barack Obama had twisted the nation to mean. In fact, I was just meeting with some foreign dignitaries earlier today who came by here by the Family Research Council. And, you know, they're all breathing a sigh of relief that it is a new day. And the world is taking note. And they're still waiting because there's a lot of Obama holdovers that are still doing mischief and pushing these radical agendas. And so they're hopeful that Donald Trump's agenda that he articulated to the nation, which brought him to the White House, is going to be carried out throughout his administration. Gail, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening every day. All right, let's go to Tennessee where Scott is on the line. Scott, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, how are you, Tony?
I'm good. How are you today?
Oh, not too bad. Hey, I just want to bring up one point here that I think a lot of people might be missing in Congress and the Republican side. This is their opportunity to show that they really care and to do something. We've had Trump, we've had Sessions, we've had Nunes, all these people being just crucified by the left, by the Democrats putting them out there and making them defend themselves for nothing, for smoke that's out there supposedly that they created, nonsense and non-events, but they're sitting there making them do that. Well, now this just happened today. We had a shooting, and the shooter was described and proven to be a big Bernie Sanders fan, a supporter. Now, why is not the Republican Party going after Bernie Sanders, making him be held accountable and answer questions because something actually happened? Someone was shot. So, hey, have you had any contact with this individual? Was he a supporter? Did he give you money? If that happened on the other side, it would be unbelievable, and we would hear about it in the Post and the Times for the next 4 years. And this thing actually happened. Why are these people always left unscathed? Not questioned, and this thing should be showing maybe that the Republicans will do something to stop the other side from making false accusations and taking the time away from the president and other members of his cabinet to be able to do their job.
All right, Scott, I appreciate the phone call. I agree with you on one count of that. I think you can show collectively how this guy's influenced by the left. And you know, Bernie Sanders, and you may have heard my interview with James Lankford earlier about Bernie's attack on Russell Vought and the president's nominee for the deputy director of the OMB. Clearly beyond the pale, and he should be responsible for his comments. I don't think we can make him responsible for what this crazed gunman did. Now, we can look at what he has said, if he's inspired anyone. I think we look at some of these associations. I think we look, you know, as Paul brought up with the Washington Examiner, the connections with MoveOn.org, the connections with the Southern Poverty Law Center. And we have government agencies that are still using, like the Southern Poverty Law Center. This is the second time they've been linked to a shooting. And so, I say that from the standpoint of the news reports that the guy went, I don't know how extensive it was. In our case, the shooting at the Family Research Council, it was quite clear because he testified. Corkins, the guy who did the shooting here, told the FBI that he chose us because of the Southern Poverty Law Center. So they have a record of being linked to these type of things. If this would have been someone who had been connected with Donald Trump, a Trump supporter, and he had gone over to the Democratic practice and shot somebody, but look, the media would have been would never let it go, the political connections. Or if someone would have done this during Barack Obama's term in office. So there's clearly a double standard. I think we're going to watch that over the next few days and see how that plays out. But I think on that point, Scott, you're right. Let's go to Arkansas, where Roxanne is on the line. Roxanne, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. Thank you, Tony. It's a pleasure speaking to you.
Well, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Well, this division. You know, I've just, the more I listen to the news, the more concerned I get about the division in our country and how the left remarks are so inflammatory that this is what the result is of remarks. It's hatred. It's tearing us, this country, into two pieces. And we're in the middle. We're just going to be falling off the edges where it breaks apart, the citizens. I think about the bundle of sticks, and we heard the remark when we were children, a bundle of sticks is stronger than one. But yet we're getting to the place where our country is going to be the one stick that is easily broken by any entity, any organization, or any country, mm-hmm. because we are not together.
Well, it's a good assessment, Roxanne, when you think, you know, united we stand, as President Lincoln said, divided, we fall. And but you have to look at what unifies it. What can bring us together as a nation? Now, historically, it has been a common ethic, a common idea of what it means to be an American. Now, that's a diverse idea because we've been kind of the melting pot. But we've now, you know, it's been a couple of decades now where we've had this hyphenated America, where everybody is, you're a Hispanic American, you're an African American, you're an Asian American. What happened to being an American? That's a part of it, the fracturing of the foundation of the American society. We no longer assimilate people into this country. We don't teach our children, our schools do not teach our history. We don't celebrate who we are. We just had a president who, you know, basically did everything he had to tear us down. There's a lot that has to be done. But one of the things I don't think we should do is to be silent. I don't think we should be silent about who we are as Americans and what makes us exceptional as a nation. And sometimes when you get lost, you return. And I think America needs to return to some of those things we know that made America the great nation that it was. And that's not too hard. It's not too hard. All right, we're going to try to work in another call here. Let's go to Bob in Alabama. Bob, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to say that I'm 59 years old, and it just seems like, hey, the more I learn about Jesus, the happier I am. I got born again when I was 21 years old back in 1979, and it's been quite a journey. You know, I failed him every day, but he's never failed me. And the more I learn about Jesus, the more I read my Bible, and the more I just learn about him, the happier I am. And you know what? I'm not scared of dying. I mean, I look forward to it. But I want to stay here and serve Jesus, who is God, as long as I can. And, Tony, I'm 59, and through the years, I'm seeing a deterioration on many, many different levels. And, hey, Tony, you know this. And I know this because I know you're born again from listening to you. And that's a born again gift. And this thing is, you know, it's just the truth. It's not going to get better until we get to God. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, and learn about the Bible and learn what we should do. And, you know, the single most important word in Scripture is repent. It's in there 968 times. Repent. It means turn from your sin. Mm-hmm. You know what? But here's the deal. We're going to fail. And when we fail, we confess our sins. It says the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful and just to cleanse us from our sin and to forgive us of our sin. And when you put those two things together, we can have revival. But first, it's not optional. Paul said, repent. He said, if you don't repent, you shall all likewise perish. Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Jesus said, repent, kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist said, repent, kingdom of God is at hand. Peter said, repent, repent. But you know what? We're not going to be perfect. We're going to fail. And when we fail, we ask forgiveness, and he's faithful. And so that's the key to revival.
Yep. That is true. If you've listened to Bob, you've heard me say many times what America's greatest problem is not political, but it's spiritual, and it is a returning. And one of the reasons we advocate so aggressively for religious freedom, for the ability of Moriahs and others out there to be able to stand up and be a public witness for their faith for Jesus Christ, is so that others might come to know the truth. Because you're right. The only thing that's going to really get America back on the right track is when men, women, and children come into a life-transforming relationship with Jesus Christ, and they live it out, and they're free to do so. All right, folks, out of time. Please pray for Steve tonight and for his family and for the others, and pray for our nation as well. Until next time, I encourage you to take heart from the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6 when he tells us when we've done everything we can do, we've prayed and we've taken our stand, that we're to just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.